ladies and gentlemen. My name is Mark Ratledge. I am the owner of the Ratledge and Broadcasting Network podcast hosted by blogtalkradio.com and iTunes and other places where you can find podcasts such as Stitcher, iHeartRadio, et cetera, et cetera. And this is a little off the beaten path. Tonight we are doing a candid Q&A. I'm going to bring on the person who will be interviewing me tonight. Normally I do a diary entry regarding some of the personal struggles I've had, whether it's weight loss or family issues, parenting, etc. And these are podcasts that I will do aside from the usual entertainment content that is provided on the Ratledge and Broadcasting Network. But instead of me just blathering into a microphone, I thought, why not have a guided Q&A? And who better than to guide me and to keep me on the beaten path than one of my good friends and a host of his own podcast right here on the Ratledge and Broadcasting Network, Jesse Starcher. So I'm going to bring him out right now, and he's going to tell you a little bit more about what we're doing tonight, what that image you see before you, that snazzy T-shirt that says Fight Ratledge Fight, what that's all about, what we're going to be talking about tonight, and then finally where you can find said snazzy T-shirt. Jesse, how you doing tonight?
Hey, Mark Ratledge, thank you for letting me have the opportunity to maybe get some questions out there from that a lot of people may be having in their heads right now. I mean, there may, if anybody out there is a fan of the Ratledge and Broadcasting Network, and you've listened to a lot of our podcasts, you've probably heard some rumblings, because Mark's just been about on every podcast I think that we've had for the past, practically at least last few weeks. He's been on every Monday through Thursday podcast almost. But anyway, if you haven't noticed, Mark has been alluding to some things in regards to what I call the big C word, and Mark has told me to call it by its name, and that's cancer. So this evening, what we're going to do is we're going to dive deep and ask some of those tough questions, like, what's your name? And who are you, Mark Ratledge? Now we're going to start real basic, just in case, because we're doing this YouTube style, we're doing this podcast style, so people will have the opportunity to see the snazzy T-shirt that you were talking about earlier if they go wish to check out the YouTube video. And they'll also be able to hear this in their ears. So, and we may be picking up a few people that have never even heard of the Ratledge and Broadcasting Network before. So let's go ahead and we'll start it right off. Mark Ratledge, tell us about, number one, I know you as a podcaster. So why don't you start there? When did you get into podcasting, and give us an idea? I know you've been at this for a while.
I have. This is an opportunity for me to be brutally honest and forthright, and maybe talk about some things that up to now I just didn't want to talk about, didn't feel it was necessary. The object here is to be entertaining and to give people out there something fun to listen to. So I didn't feel the need to go into a lot of my own personal stuff, though I do wear a lot of my personality on my sleeve. So the answer to your question is, when I was married the first time, people may not know this, but I'm actually on a second marriage. And when I was married the first time, between 2006, 2007, I had also been blogging. I had started a blog called Progressive Conservatism, that was hosted on, I think it was, now I don't remember the name of it, Blogger. That was it. Wow, what is that going back? That started shortly after the 2004 election between John Kerry and George W. Bush. And I started Progressive Conservatism in November of 2004. I kept that blog going through 2005. And then in 2006... is when through promoting the blog and doing some other things, I discovered a new site called Blog Talk Radio. Now, I had been listening to talk radio for a long time at this point. I'd been a big fan of the Rush Limbaugh show, Michael Savage, Mark Levin. And I even listened to some liberal radio like Randy Rhodes. You know, I tried to listen to both sides. I also liked a lot of comedy radio like Opie and Anthony. So I had really deep dived into the AM talk radio sphere. And it's something that I thought that if I ever had the opportunity to do, I would be pretty good at. One of the talents that I think I have is my ability to communicate. And I thought, well, if I ever have the opportunity to do radio, I actually think I'd be pretty good at this. I think I'd actually be better at radio than I would be at writing. And I had been writing for quite some time. So with Blog Talk Radio, I started the Progressive Conservatism radio show. And like all things that I start with, it starts serious and then quickly becomes silly.
Been part of many of those podcasts.
Yeah. Progressive Conservatism started out as a serious look at the news from a sort of middle-of-the-road point of view, and, you know, hence the whole concept of progressive conservatism. And then I found that talking to nobody was not really, especially in 2006.
Well, so you're doing this by yourself.
Yeah, I started this. I was a lone ranger there for a little bit.
Wow.
And I would have all my notes in front of me in Wikipedia pages. And I found it to be, I thought, well, this could be better. Now, my longtime partner, my longtime writing partner, friend, you know, good buddy, John Brodigan, who currently works as a political consultant in New York, I brought him on. And we started doing the show together. And like all things that John and I do together, as I said, it got silly really quickly. Hey, buddy. That's my son in the background. And so Progressive Conservatism turned into PC Live pretty quickly. And PC Live kind of became like a daily show type mocking of the news.
PC Live, PC standing for political correctness?
No, progressive conservatism. Oh. And then eventually, much like CM Punk, it stood for nothing after a while.
Okay.
It was, like I said, progressive conservatism to PC Live, and then PC Live became more about chicken stories than anything else.
Okay. Gotcha. That's a neat evolution right there.
What?
Yeah, I thought so.
Okay. Yes, go get meds. Sorry to crash. I'm sorry. I am very sorry.
that's my wife, everybody.
Hello, Melissa.
Hi. I greatly apologize for the angry drunk children there.
Keep them out of the alcohol.
Seriously, like, I don't know why, but for some reason, Jonas is saying hi too. When kids get tired,
they turn into angry drunks.
That's the truth.
All right. So this is now 2006, 2007. Okay. We're knee deep into PC Live. And over the years, we would start, stop. I would experiment with some other ideas, PC Live After Dark, which brought on some of my other friends that didn't play well with John. And, you know, we would do some nighttime shows and focus on some different kinds of stories. I dabbled here and there with going back to doing a solo show when John and I were not on the best of terms. And eventually I think I just gave up on PC Live altogether. I would keep the Blog Talk Radio account going, and eventually I would restart it and rebrand it as the 411 Ground and Pound MMA show, which that ran for a couple of years. And I eventually gave that up to Robert Winfrey, who is the current host of the show. But I would take the opportunity, once I got the bug back in me and I had the time, to start some other shows. We started Long Road to Ruin. We started the Metal Hammer of Doom. And eventually, I met folks like you. I met folks like Jason Teasley, Ronnie Adams, and Gavin Napier, And what I found is that, you know, people liked what I was doing and they wanted to be a part of it. And so out of the opportunity to let people use my Blog Talk Radio account to do their own shows, thus the Rattledge and Broadcasting Network was born.
Yes, indeed. Proud to be a part of the Rattledge and Broadcasting Network. Mondays. And any other time I have the opportunity to hop on the Metal Hammer of Doom and, of course, you know, third chair there. So you've put together a rather large family of podcasts now. We go into comics. We go into MMA. We go into we have wrestling with W2M who's showing up here. Metal, just like you said. So it's a wonderful array of podcasts. So you're like what we love to call, and I can't remember the first time I ever heard the term used was by Jason Teasley. It may have been used by somebody else, but you are the patriarch of the Rattledge and Broadcasting Network. Unfortunately, recently you got some pretty bad news, and I could tell, man, over Christmas. Let's just go ahead. I want you to do your best because I'm not going to sit here and say how it all went down, even though I, you know, was a part of many podcasts where you could just tell you were suffering through. But give us an idea of what led to this diagnosis that you found out here earlier. I think it was this year.
Well, let me first tell people I have been blessed by, other than being fat most of my life, I have actually been pretty healthy, knock on wood. I have been blessed with a good immune system and a healthy body. And I've never really been sick outside of the occasional like sinus infection or cold or whatever. I've never had to deal with major illness in my life. So imagine my surprise when late last year, I got what felt like a really bad sinus infection around November. And it went away, but I would still have difficulty catching my breath whenever I exerted myself. Now, you're talking to somebody who, at various points in his life, had lost a metric ton of weight. At this, you know, by the November December mark, I had been on a diet, a medically supervised low carb, low calorie, high protein diet. And I have lost a considerable amount of weight by this point, close to 100 pounds. And, you know, prior to that in my life, I had completed a Tough Mudder, which is around 13 miles, if I remember correctly. I had completed a half marathon, the Walt Disney Wine and Dine half marathon. I had been in a bunch of different mud runs and 5Ks and 10Ks. So suffice it to say, while I would never consider myself to be, you know, an athlete as such, I was a physical guy. I trained in jiu-jitsu, kickboxing. You know, I have done things. I've done all the things, Jesse Starkster. All of them. I've been very, very physical in my life. And I'm telling you this not as a brag. None of this is a brag. But it's to set up some context. Suddenly, after all of that, and despite all of my weight loss, I'm having difficulty walking up a slight gradient uphill. I remember taking my kids to Legoland in the middle of December and having a hard time catching my breath doing what was a simple walk, a slight uphill gradient walk. And I'm turning to Melissa, who is my wife, and I'm saying, I can't, I'm having a hard time breathing. That's when I knew something was wrong. But because, and this is something I have talked about in the past and will continue to talk about, I don't go to the doctor. You know? Yeah. I ain't no mamby-pamby, hashtag. And I've never felt the need to take pills or to take, you know, medicine unless it was absolutely necessary. So I'm sitting here caught between this idea of, I can't breathe normally on a simple walk, but I don't want to go to the doctor because I hate them. Their answer to everything is, well, you're fat, lose weight. Okay, well, I don't, you know, whatever. So another week or so goes by and I'm getting worse. I'm still having a hard time breathing. I'm fatigued. I don't know what's going on with me. And I show up to work on December 30th, and I'm supposed to work the entire weekend. I'm actually supposed to work overnight on New Year's, and I can barely make it out the door. My wife is having to tie my shoes for me. I can't walk in the building that I work in. I work at the county jail here in the county that I live in Florida as a mental health worker. Mm. I can barely get in the door. People are asking me, what is wrong with you? And I don't know. And this is frightening because I've never been like this before. I can't get down the hallway without stopping and leaning against the wall. So I eventually go home, and I had plans to go out that night. That was actually the night of the last Ronda Rousey fight. And I didn't want to miss it. So I literally went to my friend's house unable to breathe.
Gotta get that MMA in.
I gotta get that MMA in, man. I don't like to break plans. You know, I don't like to scale out on people. I feel personally disappointing in myself if I cancel plans. Mm. So fuck breathing. So I'm on the couch and I'm barely able to catch my breath. And people are wondering why I even showed up to this event. And I'm like, well, I didn't want to miss the fight. I didn't want to cancel. Meanwhile, I can barely get that sentence out because I can't catch my breath. Eventually, they let me borrow my friend's inhaler, and I was able to do okay for a little while. But I finally went home. Thank God Ronda Rousey sucks now and got knocked the fuck out, because the night ended early, and I went home. The next day, I would not allow myself to not take my kids to the little New Year's party that they were scheduled to go to, so I took them. But after that, I brought them home, threw them out of my car, and drove to the CVS Minute Clinic, a doctor that I can go to. I can deal with the CVS Minute Clinic. And I'm telling her my symptoms, and I'm thinking, oh, I just have a bad cold or something. She proceeds to tell me, take your dumb ass to the ER. You either have pneumonia or you're having a heart attack. I haven't quite figured out which, but I can't diagnose you from here. So go to the ER. I'm like, all right. Go to the ER. Get a CAT scan. Get an x-ray. My lungs are all screwed up. I have pneumonia. And there's more details on that in an archive diary here on the Rattle Legend broadcast called Pneumonia New Year, where I went into that whole scenario. Suffice it to say, I thought that was the end, but it was just the beginning. A few weeks later, after getting better, I would deteriorate even worse. Everything I've just described to you, it would get 10 times worse by the time, by the end of January, where I would end up having to go to urgent care. And they said, listen, bud, you need to go have a PET scan. You need to have a CAT scan. Your lungs are still pretty messed up, and this is worse than pneumonia. And after that imaging was done and I met with a pulmonologist, this is now the end of January, beginning of February, and this is the first time I would hear the big L word, lymphoma. The pulmonologist said, you either have a wild infection or you have lymphoma. And I went, what's lymphoma? And he said, you have cancer, or you may have cancer. It freaked me out the first time I heard it. I mean, I had my son with me at the time, and I had a minor meltdown. I thought I was going to die. I mean, I didn't know what lymphoma was. Mm-hmm. Now, I would subsequently hear the phrase, boy, if you're going to get cancer, this is the one to get because it's imminently treatable. This, you're young, you're relatively healthy despite this, and you have the most treatable cancer one can possibly get. You're probably going to be fine. And that's fine to hear that. But in between hearing that and hearing the words, you have cancer, I thought I was going to die. I'm 40 years old. I'm going to be 41 this year. I have a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old. I have a lovely wife. I have a pretty decent life. I don't want to die. This is probably the best my life has ever been. And I'm hearing you have cancer for the first time. And it freaked me the fuck out. I sat outside the pulmonologist's office for a little while and just had myself a good old-fashioned cry right there in front of my son. But, you know, life had to go on, and I had things to do. So that sort of began my journey, because they couldn't confirm necessarily at that point that I had lymphoma. It was, you know, again, we were still in the wild infection or lymphoma phase. So over the course of the next month, I would get more tests. I would have surgeries. I would be hospitalized once. And by March, it was confirmed that it was a diffuse large cell, large B cell lymphoma.
Can you do your best to kind of explain what in the world? I mean, there's a lot of adjectives that I have no idea what they mean. Do you have any idea? I'm sure you do. I'm sure you've educated yourself.
I've done a lot of reading. And I ain't no doctor. I ain't no mamby-pamby, and I ain't no doctor. But I'll do my best to sort of explain this in layman's terms. I have basically what is known as cancer of the lymphatic system. So we have lymph nodes all throughout your body. And you have lymph nodes around your heart. You have lymph nodes that go into your lungs. You have lymph nodes that go into various organs. And they were riddled with cancer. Mine started with lymph nodes around my heart. I had inflamed, cancer-ridden lymph nodes around my heart, hence the not being able to breathe. I had inflamed lymph nodes going into my lungs. I had masses, I believe, in my kidneys, which is all consistent with lymphoma. So what your lymph nodes do is it fights disease, it fights infection. So for the past 4 months or so, I haven't really had an immune system as such, which means I have been subject to and able to catch just about every frickin' disease floating around, you know, allergies, everything.
Wow.
All the kinds of things that, you know, we deal with on a daily basis, I'm just as much exposed to, but I don't have the system to fight back, which means all I did was get sick again and again and again.
When you found out about the treatment, can you give us an idea of what they said you would have to go through in order to get this fixed?
Sure. So once I knew for sure that I had, you know, that I had, or we knew more or less, I hadn't been totally confirmed yet, but we knew I was going to end up with cancer and I needed to go to the cancer specialist here in Tampa Bay, which is Moffitt, Moffitt. Great place, by the way. Should you be stricken with cancer, go to Moffitt. They're the best. I called them up. It took me 3 weeks to get in there. And when I finally did, I met with a doctor and a battery of nurses and such, and they said, "We're going to cure this thing. You're gonna beat it. We're gonna fight this thing with every tool and every weapon we've got available to us." I didn't really know what that would entail in the beginning, but they weren't kidding around. So to lay it all out there, to lay it all on the line, what it is that they've lined up for me, other than sort of the pre-surgery thing, the pre-treatment things I needed to do, like I had to put a port in, I had to have a lumbar puncture, it was a spinal tap with chemo. My treatment plan is 6 treatments of chemotherapy, 1 every 3 weeks. So I've already had one. I'm having another one on May 4th, and my last one will be August 1st. And then they laid on me that in addition to the 6 treatments of chemo, they wanted me to do in total 4 lumbar punctures with chemotherapy, which is a needle in your spine where they inject chemo into it. Because apparently lymphoma is a tricky fucker. and can hide out in your bones and can hide out in your spine, in your organs. And so they want to make sure that even when they zap this shit with chemo, that there isn't any lying around somewhere and hiding. And then I got to go through this again. They want to make sure we kill it dead.
Mm-hmm.
So I've already had my second lumbar puncture. I had one yesterday. I have two more ahead of me and five more bouts of chemotherapy.
Well, so it's going to be a road to get there. That's for sure. None of that stuff sounds fun at all. I mean, you were talking about getting the port in, which I assume that's just hanging out there that's part of you now, right?
You know, it's hidden underneath my skin.
Oh, okay. All right. So it ain't that bad. I thought it was just like this big tube hanging out of you or something.
Yeah, I'm walking around like fucking RoboCop. they put a port in just above my right breast, or as I told Robert Winfrey the other day, the male tit. I threatened to punch him in the male tit because he wouldn't stop interrupting me. And shared that with Melissa, at which point she turned to me and she said, was there an option to punch him in the female tit? Why specifically? Wait.
Anyway. Gotta be gender specific.
Yes. So right above my chest is a dual port where they just shove the needle through the skin when I'm getting plugged into my chemo tubes.
Okay. Well, how was your first treatment, man?
Long. I went into it and now let me go back a step. We were supposed to go on a cruise, believe it or not. We had this cruise planned from last year. It was a dual family cruise, myself and my best friend and his family, my family and his family. And we were supposed to do this Disney cruise. I guess it was 2 weeks ago now. And right before we were going to get on the boat, I got hospitalized again. I got hospitalized because I had caught the common cold. And the common cold was so bad for me in particular that I couldn't breathe again. I mean, I couldn't catch my breath. I couldn't settle my breathing down. I was completely congested. When I breathed. When I was breathing, I would sound like a percolating coffee pot or like stereo hiss.
Go back in the Radulich and Broadcasting archives and you can hear every little bit of that.
Yeah. The phrase was, if I had air in my lungs, they would be a podcast. There wasn't much air to be had. I was sharing space with a lot of gook. And part of the reason why I wanted to talk candidly was to really sort of share some of these elements of my personality. I don't know when to quit at times. You know, you're talking to somebody who once again was so personally offended by the idea of breaking plans with his friends that he forced himself to go to a party, even though I should have gone to the hospital that night. And once again, you know, I'm sitting here with no immune system. I catch everything but the kitchen sink. And yet I refuse to not go to WrestleMania. And I had tickets from Christmas time. It was a Christmas present from my in-laws to go see SmackDown. And I didn't want to not go to that either. But in doing so, I'm pretty certain I made myself sicker than I would have been. And by the time Wednesday came along, the day before we were supposed to get on our cruise, I couldn't breathe anymore. And I had to be driven to the hospital again, where I was admitted for a couple of days. When I got out of the hospital, I was still, you know, I was still a percolating coffee pot. So I went into chemotherapy still pretty congested. Not enough that I needed to be hospitalized, but I still sounded like, you know, I sounded like less cool Darth Vader. So how was chemotherapy? Well, it would have been great if I could have slept, but I couldn't because anytime I started to rest and lean backwards, I would gasp for air, which meant the entire, 6-7 hours that I was sitting in that chair, I had to be awake for. Thank God for podcasts.
I did not know it was that long.
Dude. The lumbar punctures may take 15 to 20 minutes, and then it's 2 hours of lying flat on your back. Chemotherapy is an all-day affair.
No kidding. Wow.
The thing that I'm learning about cancer and cancer treatment is that how much of this, how much it carves out of your life. I mean, I didn't want to get into all the specifics of all the stuff that happened before I went into chemo, but like I had to have a couple of different procedures, and it was like, don't get this wet, and don't do this, and don't do that, and don't eat after midnight. And it was like, I felt like a mugwai. It was, you know, don't do this and don't do that. And my favorite thing that I keep hearing is, why don't you take time off of work? Okay. I'm not independently wealthy. I can't not work. And the other hilarious thing is, it was like, well, do you have to work in a jail? Yes, that's my job. So it's like, I love the doctors at Moffitt. I love the nurses. There are good people who are trying to do right by me, but a little unrealistic at times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, everything that they're asking you to do, it's like, listen, we want you to do these things. These things take forever, and either do them or don't get cured of cancer. Your choice. And some people, I was talking to one of the schedulers, some people make that choice. Some people, you know, I happened to catch this when I was 40. There are people who get this when they're 60, when they're 70, when they're 80, and just go, fuck it. I'll just die of cancer then. Hmm. But that's not me. And that's not my life right now.
Yeah.
So, as to how it was, I mean, it was fine. They started, the main drug is this thing called Rituxan, I believe is what it's called. And they needed to make sure that I was going to be able to tolerate it. So like they started off with a little juice, and they'd see how I was doing. And if I didn't have a reaction, they'd crank up the juice. And then if I didn't have a reaction, they'd crank it up even more. And then finally I got the maximum amount of juice, and then it was over. And I'll tell you, I feel great. After that first bout of chemo, I actually felt the best I felt in 4 months, believe it or not.
Awesome.
Now I get tired kind of easily. And I know, and I try to listen to my body now that when I start to feel some aches and pains, know that, okay, I've hit my limit. I need to go lay down. And the deal that my wife and I have made is I will tell her everything going on with me, however I'm feeling. I will share with her all my physical and mental and spiritual and psychological feelings. But then she can't give me shit about it. And if I need to go lay down, that's okay. And she isn't going to give me shit about it, right?
Exactly.
Well, I guess there's an upside there. Well, okay, so you're doing good. I mean, is the family doing all right? I mean, I know you mentioned some concerns there when we were talking. I can't remember if it was on Metal Hammer of Doom or whatever about how your son's probably going to grow up hating doctors, but is everybody doing okay now, or are we still dealing with stuff? I imagine it can't be easy.
They're 6 and 3. They only know so much about what's going on. They know daddy's sick. They know they know that because I'm sick, they couldn't get to go on the cruise.
Yeah, but now they're holding on to that when you feel better, they need to get a dog.
Super. I think it was a little touch and go there with my daughter for a little bit. But, you know, if anyone's ever heard any of my podcasts before, and I've, you know, we've delved off the beaten path of talking about the central subject and I start talking about my family, know that I'm pretty upfront with my kids. I mean, I try to speak to them in a way that is developmentally appropriate, but I don't hold a lot back. And, you know, I've been honest with them. Daddy's sick right now, but daddy's going to get better. And here's something that I want to say. I want to make sure I take this opportunity on this podcast to say, it is extremely important for my kids to see me be strong. If they get nothing out of this whole affair, this experience, I just want them to know that no matter how many times daddy got knocked down, daddy got back up again and daddy fought this thing. And I think they do see that. And it's important for me to keep them on their routines. This last time I got hospitalized, I insisted my wife not come see me. You know, I'm a big boy, and Netflix has a lot of stuff for me to watch. I can live without, you know, people coming to visit me. What I couldn't live with is if my kids missed their dance lessons at the Y or their swimming lessons. The first time I got hospitalized, you know, my kids had to live with my in-laws for a couple of days. And frankly, I didn't want that to happen again. I wanted them to have normalcy. I think that that's the point that I'm trying to drive home here. As much as it is important for me to get healthy and get over all of this and get back to my life, it is equally, maybe in my mind, more important that my kids have normalcy in their life. They deserve that. And I fight with every ounce of my being to make sure they have that normalcy. If for no other reason than it minimizes the impact of just how serious this is, because at 6 and 3 years old, they really don't need the full brunt of it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It can't be easy at all to have an illness like this and have children, you know, that you have to, you know, they're your own, and you don't want to see, have them, you know, see the fact that you're going through a really tough time. And I absolutely do understand.
It kills me. It hurts my soul that I used to spend my days off taking Jonas to the mall to play in the park and to the bookstore, and we would get lunch together and we would do all kinds of fun things. And I barely have enough energy on my days off a lot of times to get him to the appointments that, you know, to get him to his little preschool class, his preschool prep class at my gym, and, you know, maybe get him some lunch. And then I got to get home again because I need a nap.
Well, the good thing is that we look forward to the future to see that once you're recovered, you're going to be right back into it. Now, not only is it a very – there's no understating the emotional toll that this is taking on you. But let's talk about the financial toll, okay? Because you've already said – No charity. And nobody, maybe people are just tuning in this. They've not heard your stance on somebody maybe throwing a few bucks your way to help you out. But from what I've seen, somebody has taken it upon themselves to come up with a very snazzy way to maybe help the cause and get you at least throw something your way to help you out here. Can you give us some details? Number one, who that person was that kind of stepped up and what exactly is being offered here?
All right. So yeah, let's go back a step. So I mentioned him before, John Brodigan, my former partner in crime and good buddy. He just decided for shits and giggles to make a t-shirt for me and my family that started with something that my wife did, you know. We went to Disney on the Sunday that we were actually supposed to come home from our cruise, and we met our friends who we were just getting off the boat. And, you know, I was in pain. I had a lot of muscle aches. I had really pushed myself to keep up with everybody. But again, we had planned to take my son to T-Rex for his birthday dinner, and I would be damned if we were going to miss it. If I had to drag myself into the stupid restaurant, I was going to do it, and I did. But by the end of that day, I was exhausted. And I just sat on the wall waiting for the bus to take us back to our car at Disney Springs. And my wife happened to – you know, my kids got off the line, and they came over to me, and Jonas sat on my lap, and Lily leaned up against me. And my wife happened to catch a picture of, you know, me holding both of my kids. And she was something along the lines of, you know, this is what the fight looks like. And she put, you know, hashtag fight Rattledge fight. Now, just as an aside, there's a wrestler named Kevin Owens, otherwise known as Kevin Steen from his Ring of Honor days. And one of his t-shirts says fight Owens fight because he's a prize fighter. Get it? And I love Kevin Owens. He's one of my favorite wrestlers right now. You know, I have one spirit totem that is Yosemite Sam. Hashtag I ain't no mamby pamby. My other spirit totem is Kevin Owens. Fight Owens fight.
Who our kids mistake you for.
Who my kids think I am, apparently. So playing off of that, you know, she took this picture, Melissa did, and she put it on Instagram, and she put the hashtag fight Rattledge fight. My friend John saw said picture, saw said hashtag, and thought, you know what? I'm going to make them a t-shirt that says fight Rattledge fight on it. And yield red, white, and blue. And that was it. That was the extent of it. It was shits and giggles. It was, hey, here's something for the fight. Here's something for your family. I love you guys. Lots of luck. And we, Melissa, who, if she ever leaves me, is probably going to go straight to John.
Yep.
John Brodigan is the future Xmas Day. Just loves him to pieces. And she thought this was a wildly nice gesture. So she immediately put it on Facebook. Well, this thing kind of caught fire. People saw the t-shirt and go, I want one. Where can I get one? Well, there wasn't a place to get one at the time. So we went back to John and said, hey, how did you come up with this? What did you do? People want to get the t-shirt. Is there a way to do that? So he set up an account with represent.com and made it so that a portion of the sales of any t-shirt come back to my family. And I would never in a million years set up my own like GoFundMe unless it was to produce a movie, The Herculoids versus Thundar the Barbarian. But I, you know, I'm the guy who falls out of the wheelchair and says, don't help me. I need to learn to do this on my own. That actually happened, by the way. There was a night that one of the nights that I was leaving work, I couldn't walk more than 3 feet. I literally had to be wheeled from central booking to the medical clinic, and they were going to wheel me to my car. And I said, I just refused. I said, I don't care how long this takes, and I don't care how much I can't breathe. I'm going to walk out of here on my own.
Oh, man, when you're 80 years old, you're going to be a shithead to deal with.
When he's 80, he's 40.
He's just practicing right now.
Yeah, I don't accept help well. And I would never in a million years ask for charity. We are doing okay. We've had some financial bumps in the road, but I have my parents and I'm able to work and Melissa has been able to work and we're managing. But people have asked, what can we do? People want to do for us. We are loved. And I am grateful for that love. And while, again, I would never, ever in a million years do this for myself or ask anyone for it, I'm not going to say no if someone wants that, if someone wants to offer the help. So when the opportunity to sell this t-shirt and take a portion of it and put the money aside for if we need it in case I can't work or something, or, you know, thankfully I have really good health insurance, knock on wood, but you know, shit happens and you never know when, you know, when God's going to throw you a curveball. I certainly didn't this year. God or whatever it is you believe in, for you atheists. So a portion of the $25 you spend on any one of these Fight Rattledge Fight t-shirts comes back to my family, which we are putting aside in case of a rainy day. And when I get through this, if I get through this and we have no use for the money, we will take that money and we will donate it to any one of the industries or companies, charities, et cetera, that are doing research in the fight against cancer. That is my promise to anyone who buys a t-shirt. This money will be used for my family if we need it. And if we don't, it goes to cancer research.
That's great. I mean, that's tremendous. It's not only do you have, it's a testament to the people that love you. I mean, Lord knows I'm one of them, and you've got plenty of people out there that listen to these podcasts that they put you in their ears at least once a week, even though you may be on there five times a week. They can't avoid you. But, you know, we have a great podcast community, hence, you know, using this format to get the word out is, you know, that's a – It's useful. It's useful to let those people know that they can have the opportunity to help you out. Plus, you know, anybody on Facebook we're going to have this up on the site, the Rattlesnake Broadcasting Network Facebook site. I guarantee you're going to be able to find a link there. Also on blogtalkradio.com. Speaking of the link, Mark Rattlesnake, what is the link to where they can find this shirt?
It is represent.com/. Fight Rattlesnake Fight. That's RADULICH. represent.com/fightrattlesnakefight.
All right. Very good. Well, is there anything that you feel is left unsaid? I think we've covered the bulk of everything, but I absolutely want to give you the last word here. Mark Rattlesnake.
I want to say a couple of things. One, my prognosis is good. My lab work as of yesterday was in really good shape. I seem to have bounced back pretty good from my first bout of chemo and all of my various infections and illnesses. Bounced back quicker than I thought I would. I know I'm in for a long uphill fight. I keep being told that the last couple of chemo treatments sucked diddly yuck, but in the words of Bruce Pritchard in Hey, Hey, It's Conrad, I ain't scared of shit. Whatever is ahead of me, I am Bait McTrap Springer. I just run in head first. I will knock this down and knock it out. The intent from the doctors and the nurses is to kill this thing dead, and I will see to it that it is killed dead, and I am going to get over this cancer. That is my goal. That is what I think about. There is no plan B. And while I'm doing that, I'm going to get up every day that I can and with every ounce of strength that I can and fight this with every fiber of my being and be there for my wife, be there for my children, show up to work, and live as much of my life as I can. Because God knows I love movie quotes. But if you ain't gotten busy living, if you ain't busy living, then you're busy dying. And I'm not ready to die. With that said, I didn't ask anyone to buy this shirt. I didn't ask anyone for a goddamn thing. But people did. And I love you all for it. And I hope more of you will buy the shirt just because I think it's a fun shirt. And I have a huge fucking ego. So anytime... anytime someone's wearing a shirt with my name on it, that makes me happy. As a matter of fact, and I have to share this real quick, one of my coworkers said that they're going to buy the shirt today but wear it as a nightgown so they can take me to bed every night. I'm good with this.
No.
Hubba hubba.
Which one of your girlfriends?
I have many. But no, in all sincerity, I want to thank anyone who has bought the shirt or plans to buy the shirt. Thank you. I love you. My family loves you. It's awesome. I would never ask anyone to do it, but you know, those of you who did it of your own volition, that's great. And we appreciate you. For those, you know, that don't want to be involved with the shirt, but wanted to set up a GoFundMe or whatever, same thing. All that applies to you. I would never ask, but if something that's something you want to do for me, I appreciate you. I think that's really all I have to say. I just want people to know that, you know, we're in it to win it, as my wife put on Facebook. We're in it to win it.
All right. Well, my name is Jesse Starcher, and I want to thank everybody that's either tuned in live or listening to this later. And all I can say is, Mark, I'm going to let you sign off with your signature sign off here, but hashtag fight Ratliff fight.
Be well, be safe, behave.